Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is entitled, More Than Conquerors. In this message, I want to remind you who you are in Christ, and that you are more than a conqueror through Christ, and to settle for nothing less than God's very best. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
If you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and then I'm gonna have you flip over to Romans chapter 8. So turn first to 1 Samuel chapter 17, put your finger there, that's where we're gonna start, or go back to Romans chapter 8, put your finger there, however you wanna do it. If you're a born-again believer, you're a child of God. Everyone should say amen on that. If you're born again, you are a child of God. And I believe a majority of us in this room, I think we get that up here. We get that up in our noggin, but I don't know if we get that truth in our heart. And I think that sometimes we don't really grasp that reality that we are God's children, that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And if we're ever going to succeed in fulfilling God's plan for our lives and for our church and our community, it's going to depend that we understand who we are in Christ. We have to understand our spiritual identity. Some people, they'll go through phases in life. You ever had a teenager? Boy, they go through phases, don't they? But they can go through phases. And, you know, listen, middle-aged men can go through phases, correct? They can forget who they are. They can try to dress younger, act younger, buy a sports car. We call it what? A midlife crisis, correct? That's just some guy who's forgotten who he is and what he's supposed to be doing. Just forgotten who he is. I think the same phenomenon happens in the body of Christ. I think it happens to us more than we'd like to admit. It's extended into our spiritual life as children of God. And it happens with great frequency that we lose sight of who we are in Christ and what that means. And I think what occurs is this, that we forget who we are and we settle for less than God's best. I believe that God wants to bless us, don't you? 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's go in verse number 3. We're going to start there. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Verse number 5. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of that coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. Verse 6, and he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer went before him. Verse number 8, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to this line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Verse number 9. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Look at this. Verse number 11. Here's what I want to concentrate on for just a moment. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, when they heard his words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Skip on down to verse 16. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Twice a day he would come out and make the same proclamation. Verse number 26, go on down to verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David exemplifies the attitude and the example of a conqueror. Here's what I want you to do now. Flip over to Romans chapter 8. Hopefully you have your finger there because I'm going to go right into it. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, look at that, church. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Born again believers, children of God, you should know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ. Amen? That should be a guiding principle in our lives, that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Now, I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. David battles the warrior, defeats him with sling and stone. But I don't know about you, but every time I read that story, something rises up on the inside of me. I don't know if that happens for you. Something is encouraging inside. Something takes place. I mean, every time I read that story, and I think it's a holy confidence, and you know what we call that? Faith. I mean, shouldn't faith arise when we read God's word? I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We should read less social media and more of God's word. Amen? I mean, this can be depressing at times. If we just constantly feed on social media, feed on news, whether it's true or not, just negativity, it'll affect your attitude. You know, a recent study conducted by a reputable Christian organization found this. Only 45% of those who regularly attend church read their Bibles once a week. That's terrible. Over 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. Almost one in five churchgoers say they never read their Bible. It's 20%. That's ridiculous. It's no wonder that we are biblically illiterate. And it's no wonder that we miss the promises of God. It's amazing that we'll buy what a lot of garbage that is preached from a lot of pulpits, but we won't buy into what God's word says because we don't know what God's word is saying to us. Church, I want to encourage you, don't just listen to me on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Get into your word, read your Bible, amen? Amen. It is God's word, it is his promises to you and I. When Goliath came and spoke in defiance, the Bible says that Saul and his fighting men were afraid, they were dismayed. Why? Why were they afraid? Why were they dismayed? They shouldn't have been afraid. They didn't understand they were conquerors. They didn't know who they were. They had that lack, they lost their identity. They did not know who they were. If we are not listening to what God's word says about us and to us, we'll lose sight of who we are. That's so important why you need to be in God's word. That word dismayed in Hebrew means to be shattered, to be broken down, to be confounded. Have you ever listened to someone so negative it just begins to break you down? Have you ever done that before? You better been around someone that's just negative, 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 and you can feel that weight of negativity just bringing you down. Have you ever had that happen? If you listen to too much negative stuff, it'll bring you down. It's a bummer, man. It's a joy kill. I'm just saying that we've got to be careful what we put into our ears. We have a real spiritual enemy, and he uses fear. He uses intimidation against us for what purpose? Steal, kill, destroy. That's his desire. If we allow Satan to confound us, to break us down, we'll end up just like Saul and his fighting men. I mean, they had this entitled to the same promises, entitled to the same power, but yet they sit on the sidelines for 40 days because they're afraid and they're dismayed. And so if we're not careful to who we're listening to, what we're listening to, we'll find ourselves in that same circumstance. Church, listening to what man says rather than God says is crucial. It's vitally important that we hear what God is saying to us. Allowing fear to dictate our response rather than faith, it'll cause us to settle for less than God's best. I believe that's what some of us are experiencing in this church today. 40 days, Saul's army listened to intimidation twice a day. Twice a day, that man would come out and defy the armies of Israel. But on day 40, David shows up. David shows up, and he shows up to the front lines. He's visiting his brothers. His brothers are a part of Saul's army. They're enlisted in his army. He goes to the front lines, and just at that time, he hears Goliath come out and speak. And rather than reacting in fear, David, something rises up on the inside of David. You know why? Because David knew who he was in God. He knew who he was relationally to God. And he goes, he can't believe it. These guys are fighting men. These guys are warriors. And they're putting up with one man coming out, spouting off. I would say this, get the arrow out and shoot that fellow right between the eyes. Surely there's someone who can shoot an arrow that far. I just put it right in his big mouth. Maybe that sounds rude and crude, but I wouldn't put up with that, would you? Why would they put up with that? David shows up, and I can just picture him. He's just looking around like, what is wrong with you guys? I mean, he's a teenage kid. He can't understand it. Why are you putting up with this big mouth? Rather than reacting in fear, something rises up on David because he knew that he was more than a conqueror. 1 Samuel chapter 17, look at verse 31. It says, "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they were reported to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go up and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.'" I mean, listen, church, we got to be careful, because God can be speaking sometimes, and someone's trying to be nice, they're trying to do the right thing, but if they haven't heard from God, you got to be careful. You understand what I'm saying? There's some things that God asks you to do just don't make sense on paper. And there's sometimes you just got to trust God. When God speaks to you, and you know when you know that he spoke, you got to go with him, amen? Sometimes it defies conventional wisdom. And it would make sense that David, being a teenager, not being a warrior, being a shepherd, would not go out and fight this man who was a warrior. That would be good, wise counsel, would it not? Saul tries to give him wise advice, but you got to be careful. Who are we listening to, God, or are we listening to man? Verse number 34, this is how David responds. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck and killed it.'" Verse number 36, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Listen, David was going to put up with his big mouth. Moreover, verse 37, David said this is important, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Not he may, not he might, he will. David had a holy confidence. That's faith, amen, church? Again, if you spend your time around negativity, you're not going to be built up and encouraged in faith. You will not step out on God's promises. You will cower in fear. But David was not such a person. He knew what God had promised, and he knew who he was in God. So what did he do? He acted in faith, boldly. He wasn't arrogant. He was confident in the Lord. He makes it very clear. He doesn't say, "Listen, I'm going to go out and kick this guy's tail. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." What he said is, "The Lord who delivered me, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." David knew in his knower who God was, what God had promised, and he was going to step out into faith, and nothing was going to intimidate him. Nothing was going to break down his confidence. Holt Assembly of God, are we exemplifying this attitude of a conqueror? If not, I've got some good news for you today. You can start today. I need you all to understand who you are in Christ. I need every person who calls this their church home to understand that you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. That's the good news. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are not more than conquerors in our own talents and our own abilities. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen? Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declares God's desire for us to be a conqueror. Living in Rome, that'd be strong words. Paul writing that to the Roman believers. Living in Rome and the Roman believers witnessing the power of Rome firsthand, words like conquering and conqueror, those would have had a powerful meaning to believers living in Rome in that day. Conquerors, that word in the Greek, means to vanquish beyond, to gain a decisive victory, to gain a surpassing victory. Listen, Jesus is more than a conqueror, and the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to be more like Jesus, is he not? I mean, that is his job. His job is to empower us, enable us, so the Holy Spirit can transform us to be more in the likeness of Christ. And he will do so if we yield to him by faith. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, he did it for a number of reasons. There are a number of reasons we understand, but sometimes we say, yeah, he died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the grave for our hope, for our resurrection. But there are a number of other benefits that come along with this. And one of those is that we should be more than a conqueror. Look at Colossians. I'll have it up on the screens for you. Colossians 2:15. Love this verse. having disarmed principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphant over them in it. You know what? There's something that pride, I don't know about you, pride irritates me. Arrogance irritates me. But when it comes to the devil, it's a different story. And we see right here clearly in Scripture, Jesus did not treat the devil with any kind of humility. He makes a public spectacle of him, triumphing over them. That word triumph is an interesting word. In Roman culture, it was something Rome would conquer their enemies. They would parade them through the streets of Rome. They would bring the captive kings. They would bring the spoils. There are statues in Rome today you can visit, and there are statues of the conquest or the triumph of Israel, the triumph of Jerusalem, with spoils that were taken from the temple in 70 AD, and they were paraded through the streets of Rome. Why? It's called a triumph. It's where we get our word. It's a triumph. But when you read it without understanding, having disarmed all powers, principalities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them through the cross. He wants us to be more than conquerors. Are you hearing me this morning? Yes. Jesus disarmed Satan, triumphed over him through the cross. Satan, I'm sure, had him in his crosshairs, thinking, I've got him. I've got him. I'm going to kill him. This is it. He's in the flesh. I'm going to destroy him. But Jesus made a public spectacle of him. The ultimate outcome of that is this, that we are conquerors, more than conquerors, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. I wonder how many of us in here today are truly embracing that reality. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's a truth. It's a spiritual truth. Is this a spiritual truth that is guiding you today? Does this spiritual truth help you when you make decisions? If we're going to accomplish God's goal, his mission, every person in here, God has a plan for your life. You're never going to accomplish God's plan for your life if you don't understand who you are in Christ. Because you know why? This is what's going to happen. Fear and intimidation will come against you. This world will come against you. Trials will come against you. Circumstances beyond your control will rise up against you. But listen, we have to understand who we are in Christ. We all have Goliaths in our lives. And are we listening to them? Or are we listening to God's word? Which one is it? Let me ask you this. Does God want us prosperous? All right, this is not going to a prosperity message. Just ease up here. I think that word's been abused so much in the body of Christ, but it's still a desire for God's for us. Amen? 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Let me ask you this. Does God want you victorious? Yes. Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. Look at this word here, though. If. Everyone say if. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. See, the blessings of God are reserved for the children of God. When you become born again, you are a child of God. Those blessings that God intended are for you. But there's one caveat. It's if. If we will obey him. If we obey him. See, this is the way a lot of people want to approach their walk with God. I want to go to heaven. I want all the good stuff. I don't want all the bad stuff. When I give my life to Jesus, surely that's going to happen, and that's not going to happen. There's a reason why we have to be more than conquerors, so that means you're going to face some Goliaths. You're going to face some situations, amen? But God will empower you. He's for you. He's not against you. The cards are not stacked against you like the rest of the world. And the promise is this, that you'll be the head, not the tail. But that doesn't happen overnight, and it does hinge on that word if we obey. If we obey, that's faith, amen? See, faith is more than just belief. Faith is not just believing in some facts. Faith is more complex. Faith has components. Faith has components of confidence, expectant, hopeful, obedient. You should persevere. These are elements that create faith. Being a child of God and believing that God wants to make us the head and not the tail is just half the battle. I'm praying this morning I just get that half of the battle won for you. That you understand God is truly for you. He's not against you. His desire is to make you the head, not the tail. I believe some of you just have to get that into your gut this morning. Look, God wants us blessed. I believe that with all my heart. If, though, if if we're going to walk in His promises, if we're going to walk in His commands. Black Friday, everyone's in shopping mode right now, correct? We went out of eating mode and we go into shopping mode. This is what we do sometimes. Well, I'm going to give, I'm going to tithe, but I'm still going to act stupid and God's going to bless me. No, He's not. You're going to be 6 months down the line still praying on that credit card. 15, 18, 20% interest, whatever it is, ripping you off. So this is what happens. We enter this time of year, we spend more than we make. That is not being a good steward, by the way. Listen, if you can't pay for it the next month, then don't do it. Well, so-and-so bought me a present. Well, so what? Is this a competition? Or do you just want to be in debt for the rest of your life? And then why is God not blessing me? Why is God not? Because you keep going into debt. That's why. We can't look at the blessings of God that way. We get into trouble, God's going to bail us out. You have to be a good steward. You have to put God first in your giving. You have to be hardworking. God can bless you. You give God an avenue to bless you. Don't put yourselves in a situation where we're like, well, God is not blessing me. We have to understand that faith and obedience are tightly tied together. And I want to challenge you to read God's word, meditate on it, stand on it, consume it, get it into your soul until it becomes real to you. Amen? Listen, these are not just some hollow promises from a preacher. God's desire is that you be more than conquerors. Some of us have allowed a sense of false humility to come in. And I'm going to tell you why we allow false humility to come in. Well, God doesn't really want to bless me this way and that way. It's just false humility. You know why? Because we understand we have to stand. We have to stand firm on God's promises and His word. And sometimes it's just easier to roll over on your back and give up. Boy, why aren't you amen to me on that one? Because that happens a lot. It is much easier to surrender than fight. It is much easier just to give up and give in and go with the flow. See, that's what Israel was doing. I hope God shows up. 40 days in, where is He at? And David shows up with a different perspective. He goes, this is baloney. This big mouth, this blowhard is out there speaking. Why is someone not out there whipping his tail? God is for you. What's wrong with you, you morons? I'm not calling you a moron. False humility. Well, God just, you know, no, God wants you blessed. It's not, get over yourself. God wants you blessed. The opposite of false humility, in other words, is pride. That's what it is. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Save us from our sins, amen? But let me ask you this. Why did you give your life to Jesus? Why did you give, I don't know, but you, I gave, one of the reasons why I gave my life to Jesus was so I wouldn't go to hell. Is that not a benefit? Is that not a blessing? So you got to get over, sometimes we got to get over ourselves and realize God does want to bless you. God wants to bless you. But I don't know about you. If heaven isn't a motivating factor, then I don't know what is. Last time I read the Bible, heaven, the streets of gold, that's a pretty special place, wouldn't you think? All right, last time I read the Bible, I remember that Jesus said He goes to a place. He goes to prepare a place for us. There are many mansions in heaven, and He prepares a place for us. I don't know about you, that sounds like a good place. That sounds like a benefit, amen? So let's not get into the mindset and say that, well, God doesn't want to bless me. God's desire is not for me to experience this. Get over with yourself, amen? If you don't want your portion of serving God, I'll take it, amen? If you don't want to keep your portion, I'll take it. I'll give you some stew, Esau. David was motivated by blessings. That was one of the reasons he was motivated. You don't think so? Look, 1 Samuel 17:25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Those sound like benefits, do they not? And we know this, that David afterwards marries Michal, right? Saul's daughter, he enjoyed those benefits, the benefits of a conqueror. There are benefits to being more than a conqueror through Christ. And yes, you and I are entitled to them if we're born again, if we'll approach them by faith, if we'll stand by faith, if we're obedient to God. Are you hearing me? I need some of you to get a hold of this. Look what Jacob said when he encountered the angel of the Lord. Genesis 32:26. I will not let you go unless you what? Unless you bless me. Listen, Jacob wrestled with a man, it says. But we understand it's an angel of the Lord. It's something we call a theophany. We believe it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. He's saying this, he's getting a hold of God. He said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. How many of you approach the things of God the same way? And then if you don't, why not? Church, we give up when God's ready to give in. Some of us need to get that grit back into our spiritual guts, amen? And get the same posture as Jacob and David and say, listen, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in until God blesses me. That's more being more than a conqueror. Here in a moment, I'm going to read a few of God's promises. I've taken some promises I found in God's Word. I'm just going to read them to you. And at the close of this message, I just want you to stand on. I've done this before. I just want to encourage you to do it again. If you hear a promise made from God's Word and you know when you're knower that God speaks to you and you need to stand on that promise today, man. Stand on that promise tomorrow. Stand on that promise next week. Stand until God blesses you. Faith is not this, I believe once and therefore I should get. That's not the way it works, amen? Listen, how many of you watched some football the last couple of days? Now, listen, when a team gets ahead, they just don't quit. I don't like teams that when they are winning, they send in the subs. I say pour it on them. I wipe the floor with them. I don't care, embarrass them. Make them never want to play you again. That's my opinion. I can't compete in sports because I like to compete. I stop playing church basketball because I don't almost get in fights. You know why? Because I want to win. I don't want to lose. Losing stinks. Losing is for losers. Amen. I'm just saying, if you don't like that, I'm sorry. That maybe I should have a more humble attitude, but I don't like when I get my butt kicked. I want to get up. I'm not going to do that again, but I'm not going to lay on my back and let you roll over me. I may play dead, but I'm coming back for you. You better make sure I'm down. Don't give up, church. Don't give in. God's for you. Amen? We have a real enemy. His desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will if you let him. He will. Romans 12:2. And do not, look at this, it's a warning. And do not be conformed, what? To this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Some of us have listened way too much. And we've allowed our thinking to be conformed by someone else's opinion. And the Bible warns us not to allow our thinking to be shaped by this world, but our mind, our thinking should be shaped by God's Word. How can we ever accomplish God's will if we're allowing the world to conform us, to establish the way we're going to think and behave? As a man thinketh, so he is. Listen, this world is under a limited dominion and influence of Satan, but it is. And he will do everything he can do to conform your thinking to his way. Paul makes it clear, the mind is the battlefield, church. The mind is the battlefield. Our minds must be renewed, and sometimes they must be renewed more than once a day. Sometimes if you work with a bunch of heathens, you need to renew your mind. This is the attitude of Israel. I work with a bunch of heathens. I want out of that job. No. You are there to take that job for Jesus. God's placed you in a place with a bunch of heathens to win them over to Christ. Hey, listen, they're going to split hell wide open without you being there. I don't know about you. I don't think any person, I don't care how bad they are, how unredeemable we think they are worthy of hell. God's desire is that none should perish. God has sent you. Don't try to escape the battle. Win the battle, amen? When we allow our minds to be conformed by this world, the world says, yeah, that's right. You don't want to be there. That's a bad place. Nasty place. You don't want to hang out there. You want to go work in a church. Hey, listen, I've worked in a lot of churches. I've worked in the degrees of separation sometimes. Well, let's just say, and that's sad to say, but it's true. All I'm trying to tell you is this, that you're more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. If you are a child of God, you are an heir of God, you are a co-heir with Christ, God's desire is that you are more than a conqueror. And I just want to remind you, church, listen, stand on the promises of God, amen? Stand on those promises. When I begin to read some of these scriptures, and as they become alive in your spirit, you're like, man, that's a promise for me, then you stand on it. I'm going to encourage you to come to this altar and pray and stand on God's Word. Don't stand on my plea. Don't stand on my passion. You stand on God's Word, amen? And listen, keep on standing, amen? If you need to, if it just leaps into your spirit and you come, and you listen, all week long, whatever the scripture might be, stand on it. Remind yourself, You've got to talk to yourself sometimes. Did you know that? You'll talk yourself out of things. Why not talk yourself into the things of God? Every one of us are going to face a giant. It's going to happen. You're going to face giants. We're going to face giants in our life. There's always going to be obstacles. See, we want a four-lane highway to the things of God. But listen, even the road to heaven, the Bible says, is narrow and few find it. You know why? They give up. They give up. It's about persevering, amen? It's about keeping on, amen? And I just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on with the promises of God. The benefit is not only for you, it's for your family, your church, your community, your co-workers. If you'll take a stand by faith this morning and start here and say, you know what? I've been defeated. I've been demoted. I've had all these things happen to me, but I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in anymore. I'm going to make a stand. Then God bless you. And I want to encourage you to make that stand because God's called you to be more than a conqueror. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just read a verse. And if, listen, there are some of you, I know some of these verses are going to hit home with you. And if you are going to give up, I'm going to come out there and get you and drag your bottom to the altar and say, come on, stand. I need you to stand. I just want to encourage you, you are more than a conqueror. Amen. This may sound like a cheerleading message, and it is. It's exactly what it is. I just want to encourage you today to stand. Amen. Some of you, it's a matter of sin. Look, Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. You know what? If we'll repent, if we'll turn from our sin, if we'll receive Christ, if we'll follow Him, that distance of our sin becomes greater and greater, does it not? As far as the east is from the west. Some of you just need to get that in your spirit. You feel like your sin's always there. It's always your past is always on you. Listen, if you repent and turn to Jesus, if you're following Him by faith, as far as the east is from the west, amen, He'll separate it. How about this, a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit? Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for Him? And listen, you don't have to wait for me to tell you to come. Whenever you feel it, you're ready to stand, you come and stand. But if you want a greater, a deeper walk with God, you want a greater knowledge, or I don't know what, a greater sensitivity, a deeper relationship with the presence of God, He promises us this, that our Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. God promises He'll be our provider. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In the area of finances, God promises that He will meet our needs. But remember this, it begins with a commitment. And it begins by becoming a good steward. And if you've messed that up, then make a stand today. Say, today is day one, I'm standing. 4, it might be wisdom, James 1:5. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to us generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you need wisdom today, wisdom beyond your knowledge, wisdom beyond your human experience, the Word of God promises to give you wisdom. Resisting temptation. 1 Timothy 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to, but will, with the temptation, will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. God doesn't promise to remove it, but God will empower you to stand there. If you will stand, if you'll make the stand and trust Him, He is for you. You are more than a conqueror. Don't give in. Comfort. Maybe you need comfort today. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God who goes with you, He will not leave you nor forsake you. God is for you. God is with you. Strength. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God promises to give you strength today. Maybe it's comfort. Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Burdens. Psalms 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Stand firm, church. Don't be moved. God's not going to move you. This world's not going to be. Stand firm. Maybe it's rest. Maybe you just need rest. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Maybe it's confidence. Maybe your faith needs to be encouraged this morning. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God hears you today, church. Take confidence in that. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that on all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his promise. If you need that in your spirit today, that reminder that God is for you, that God works for your benefit, that you love God, he's working on your behalf. Maybe that's a reminder you need this morning. Jeremiah 29:11. For every young person in here, hear me today. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for your life. Your life is just beginning. God has a wonderful plan for you. Stand on his plan for your life. If you don't know what that is, then you stand on the promise that he gives you a hope and a future. Maybe it's healing. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Last one. Maybe you're standing firm, more than a conqueror, and you're getting discouraged because a person you love is not serving Jesus. May I remind you what Jesus told us in Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's a promise from God's word. It's a declaration. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life of the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and that your faith has been encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.